Hello, everybody. This is Ron LeGrand in another series of ongoing interviews that I have with students. But today, not only do I have a student turned teacher, but also someone who has mastered a very neat niche that I think you ought to hear about called student housing. And you're about to find out why Dixie Decker has done so well at it and why I think you probably ought to take a look at it, too, if you're interested in ramping up your cash flow. Hello, Dixie.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
Welcome. I think first let's start with how you came on to Planet Ron. It hasn't been that long ago, has it? How many years ago?
Just hit 3 years, I believe.
3 years.
Just a little over 3 years.
Okay. And when we met, what was the condition of your lifestyle?
I had just came out of a divorce, which ultimately turned into a bankruptcy. And I had a little rehab or two going on with other people's money, but that's all I knew how to do. I thought that's the only way you could do real estate. And I met you in September of that year, and it was life-changing. I realized there was a whole nother side of this business where someone like me who had now no credit, no money, I was working a day job that paid barely $30,000 a year, and I had two kids to raise off of that by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was life-changing to meet you.
Okay. And how long after we met did you finally wind up getting into the Quick Start School?
We came to, October. So just a month later, I drove 9 hours to come to a Quick Start in Chicago and, again, realized there was so much amazing information, I couldn't possibly do it by myself. So I, again, was a slow learner, had to come back in December to a Quick Start, and I hired my mentor in December. So that in January of 2014 is when I first did, I got my mentor and started doing my first deals the new way, the Ron way.
Okay. And we probably should disclose to our listening audience that you are now one of those mentors working with our students.
Yes, I am.
Nationwide. Yes, you are. Because when I see people who progress like you do, I have to grab them and turn them into mentors because that's the kind of treatment that I want our clients to get, is somebody who's actually doing the business. So tell me, we know where you started. We know how you started, which actually I would make a case is a good place to start because there's only one way to go. And you're not worrying about loss because there is nothing to lose, so that helps.
Nope.
You're not worrying about credit because you don't have any, and you most certainly are not worrying about raising money because you know that ain't going to happen either. So you started by learning how to do the business without credit or money and doing it the correct way, which is what helped you progress quickly, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
And today, tell me, what does your business look like today, and what is it worth to you?
Oh, gosh. Today, life is very different. So over the course of the last 3 years, that first year, I wholesaled and began working slowly with some of those pretty house deals, the subject twos, the lease options, and the owner financing tactics mixed in with those 37 deals because I did wholesale some because I was super cash poor, so I needed to generate some income at the same time. And since then, I have been able to keep about 40 of those houses. I've raised a little bit over $5 million in private lending. And amongst those 40 houses, due to finding this niche called student housing, they produce a little over 140 paychecks every week or every month. So I don't check the bank account to go get groceries anymore. And most of it's on autopilot at this time. So I'm out of the office, and I have an assistant who handles all of this for me, handles all of the students and everything. So if I'm on the beach or I'm at another Ron seminar, the checks still come in.
So what you're telling me is that really your first year, you weren't even focusing on student housing. Is that correct?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. It kind of happened because I picked up a pretty house near campus, and I couldn't find a tenant buyer for it because nobody wanted to stay longer than 12 months because they were going to school. So I said, what else can we do with this thing? And we rented it out by the room on one lease.
So, as always quite frequently happened, adversity created an opportunity to turn into a whole lifestyle for you. So,
absolutely.
In reality, you've only been at this a couple of years. True?
Yes, very
okay.
true.
So today, you have 40 houses, buildings we'll call them, but they're all houses, right?
They're right? all houses. I have a couple duplexes, yep.
Okay. And you rent those out for between $450 and $600 per room per month, correct?
Correct.
All right. And your average is what, 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms?
My favorite's the 4 bedrooms.
I can see
I
why.
I like the 3.
No, you'd like the 10.
I'll do the 3 bedrooms. Yes, exactly.
Okay. So really today... Now, knowing that your cash flow is $2,000 a month or so on a house that in your area, you're in Springfield, Missouri, so what price range houses are you buying there?
Most of them are about the value, like their after repair values, probably $150,000.
Okay.
I do have some I've paid $200,000 for just because I got the right payment on it.
And some you pay closer to $100,000. Okay, here's the point I want our listeners to get. So if you're listening and you're driving, pull over, park. If you're listening and you're half asleep, slap yourself. If you're listening and you got people around you bugging you, get rid of them. Because the main point here I want you to hear is this. When you are buying these houses to rent them out by the bedroom, it really doesn't make any difference what you're paying for the house. And, in fact, you can pay full retail price for the house, can't you, Dixie?
You can.
You can. And that is the point. Now, I'm sure there's a limit. For example, we're not gonna buy a $1 million house and try to rent it out by the room. But,
right.
Honestly, it's the monthly payment to your seller is all that matters, not your purchase price. So, crap, we don't care if we buy a $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 house as long as our monthly payment is down low so that we can have a tremendous cash flow by renting these things out by the room, all right? So, Dixie, what is your average monthly income right now?
Average monthly income, I'm bringing in a little over $90,000 in checks every month.
Per month. And... what percentage of that would you say you actually get to keep? Because you do have mortgage payments and taxes and insurance.
I do have mortgage payments, yeah, and taxes and insurance. I would say we're probably about 40% is net cash flow of what we bring in.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good cash flow for a single mom, bankrupt mom, wouldn't you think?
Not too bad.
And... you are just beginning because before it's
yeah,
over.
Yeah, we still have a long road ahead of us.
Before it's over, you're going to own every house around your university, aren't you?
I hope so.
In fact, you might even wind up owning the university. That way you really control the housing. All right,
there
speaking
you go.
Of that, your university certainly houses students. How many students? What is your university anyway?
Missouri State University in Springfield,
okay.
Missouri.
MSU. And yep. they have how many students?
We have enrolled just over 24,000 students.
And how many places do they have to put these students?
Their on-campus housing allows around 6,000 to live on campus.
So that's 18,000 students that need a place to live.
Correct.
Okay. You got a long way to go.
Hey, I think the inventory is strong.
Okay. So the point is you are never, ever going to run out of students to rent your houses because you can't possibly feed that huge market to begin with. And honestly, you only own 40-some-odd buildings. That's really just a
right.
good start. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Now, what I'd like to do on this call is I'd like to go through the steps, pretending we're in a training seminar and we're training our listeners what has to be done to make this happen, and we certainly need to answer the big objection I'm hearing right now from them, and that is, my goodness, all I can see is one big giant animal house. students running rampant, tearing on my properties, having frat parties and orgies, and oh my God, I don't know if I can live with that or not. So we're going to have to discuss that too, make sure that we don't forget that. All right, so obviously, step one is we got to go find some houses, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the more bedrooms, the better, right?
Okay. The more bedrooms, the better.
Okay. So
the closer to campus, the better.
Right. Yeah. They got to be close to campus. What? How far around the campus would you say? Mile? 2 miles?
I'd say you're about a 1 mile radius. As long as they can bike to school in about 10 minutes or walk in about 5 to 10 minutes, they're happy.
So, and around any university, I'd stretch that out to a mile and a half, maybe. Around any university, my goodness, that's an awful lot of houses. Awful lot of houses.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So your goal when you're buying houses, because you most certainly do not go out and pay retail price and pay cash for houses, nor go down to the bank and borrow money. So.
Well, I don't have the credit to do that, Ron, so that's not going to be possible.
That's good. That's good, and I hope you never do have the credit to do that. Then you won't be tempted. So you've only got actually two ways you can buy houses. You can buy ugly houses and renovate them, of which you borrow money from private lenders to do so. So you don't have any money in it.
Correct.
Or you can buy pretty houses as long as they'll sell to you on terms.
Yes.
No terms, no deal. And you do them both, right?
Correct.
Of those two, which is your favorite?
I like the seller financing the best.
Because you don't have to renovate the house.
Right.
Because you don't have any long delays dealing
time.
With contractors. And you don't have to go raise the money, and you don't have any short-term balloons because of mortgage brokers, but you get your money from people anyway, so you can get longer terms, like 5 years or so, but just the same. I'm with you.
Right.
I'd rather buy. All right, well, there's only three ways you're going to buy. So, guys, if you're taking notes, take this one down. Number one, you're going to buy with owner financing, which means the seller's going to carry the note, take a monthly payment until they get paid off. Or two, you're going to take over the debt subject to, which means they just walk away and deed you the house, which is very common. Or three, and my least favorite, you can actually lease the house with an option to buy, can't you? You don't have to even own it to do student housing, do you?
You don't.
Okay. So of those three, which one do you do the most?
I'd say I have a pretty fair average between the seller giving me terms and the lease options.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to lean more towards the seller financing because it does give me a little bit more control and I'm in the deal. I know I don't have to renew that option or any of those things down the
road.
And
you know you own the house.
Right now I kind of have both. Correct.
Yeah. Well, between you and me, I wouldn't do a lease option. I'd buy with owner financing or go find another house just between you and me. There's too many of them out there.
Yeah.
And especially when I can offer the seller pretty darn close to what they're asking. As long
as
they'll take little or nothing down. Do you get most of your owner financings with little or nothing down?
Yes.
Okay, because I trained you how to do that, didn't I?
Ain't
that hard, is it, Dixie?
It isn't. They just want rid of the problem. They want rid of worrying about it at night. They don't want to mow the grass anymore, and they're done with it.
And you just got to read the script and let them say, yes, I'll sell with nothing down, don't you? And
correct.
It's amazing how many of them do say yes. We're going to talk about how you find them in a minute, but so leads come in just like any other house business, whether you're buying and selling or whether you're buying and putting student housing in. Frankly, your front end machine's the same. There's a few things you got to do to get the leads come in. Then you follow up on the leads and you work at the ones with terms. Now, you don't get into any conversations with these sellers about what you're going to do with these properties when you're buying them, do you?
I don't. Occasionally it comes up because that's what they've used it for their child or grandchild or niece or nephew, but not very often. They just want the problem gone.
Okay, and I suggest you don't, folks. Just keep your mouth shut. You're buying the house from the seller with owner financing. You don't need to get into a seminar on what you intend to do with it. All right.
Right.
All right, so you, those are the three ways you buy with terms, and then sometimes you find the junkers, pay cash, renovate them, and then put tenants in them. Okay. What's your favorite ways of finding these sellers?
My favorite way is still the yellow letter. It still works, and I still use it.
Okay.
I just mail to every neighborhood around the campus.
our famous yellow letter, which is done with yellowletterlady.com, Christy King. In fact, you can go on our Gold Club site, folks, and here's a whole lesson or two on yellow letters. If you know, this is maybe the first time you're hearing about them, but they remain the number one best way to get sellers to call us. But you have a couple, three other ways. Where are they?
Well, I like to door knock when I can. If I see a for rent sign in the yard and I can tell the landlord's been lazy, I like to door knock on those houses to get a hold of the landlord and buy the house from them. That one has been very profitable this year in tracking down those sellers that maybe just aren't calling us back from the letters they're receiving. And, of course, we run all those free ads that you can run on Craigslist and things like that. We have vehicles wrapped with phone numbers on them. But truly, the most of my leads come in off those yellow letters. Sometimes the Gold Club leads. I get those, too.
Okay, so you get a daily feed of leads through your Gold Club, which are for sale by owners advertised online in your two area codes that we use, or you use.
Yep.
Okay, all that combined, how many houses are you buying per month or per year right now?
I was doing 3 to 4 a month, and I kind of have gone down to about 2 or 3 because they're much more profitable now. So they're better quality. I don't have to do as many deals. But on average, 3 to 4 deals a month is easy to do.
Yeah, and it is because there's no long-term costly entanglements. There's no money to raise. There's no rehabs. There's no contractors. You get a contract. You close it a few days later if the seller's out or ready to get out, and it's all yours, and now you're ready to put tenants in it. And, in fact, you have a pretty good long waiting list of tenants ready to go in, don't you?
I do. I'm currently leased. 2018.
Wow.
A year and a half.
And speaking of that, when you lease out a house, this is really cool, guys. This is a Dixie special here, the Queen of Student Housing, which is the name that I have given her. She is now crowned. In fact, I crowned her in my office the other day. She's the Queen of Student Housing. Okay. And tell them what you do when you rent this house out to, let's say it's a four-bedroom house.
Four-bedroom house. Well, what I discovered works, most people really never thought about. I find one student that wants to rent the house. And what I tell them is they need to go find friends to fill up the rest of the house because they're really calling in about one room in this house. And I let them know, go find friends to fill the rest of the house up and bring them back. And so I don't have to go find the rest of those tenants. I just have to find one who has friends.
So the first one in has to rent the other three rooms for you. That's
correct.
Pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
Yep.
Okay. And then when do you lease them by the room, or is there one lease with all four of them on it?
I do one lease, and they all are guarantors on that lease for the entire rent amount, and their parents sign on that as well.
No kidding. Are you telling me that you get four students signed, and then you get all of their parents to sign?
Almost all of their parents will gladly sign.
Wow. I'd say that's quite a chunk of guarantee. So you don't need to worry about collecting rent, do you?
Right.
And when they lease, do they lease it 1 year at a time?
They do 1 year at a time because I don't want any vacancies just because school runs short.
Right. So even when they're not there, they're paying for the room.
They are.
Okay. And do the parents object to that?
Occasionally you'll have them ask why. And the simple answer to that is you typically have to move your child a couple times in the summer. What's the cost association to that? And if I can save you that, doesn't that sound great? And then they do go, you're right. You're right. I don't have to move my kid two times.
Okay. And do you collect a security deposit from them?
I do. The same amount as their rent.
Okay.
So if the house is $2,400 for the month, I get a $2,400 security deposit.
Which they divide four ways, I'd assume, right?
I assume they do.
Okay. You don't care, do you?
I don't.
Give the money. Don't care where they got it. Okay. So do you, when you buy these houses, how often do you have to clean them up and get them ready? I mean, I know you clean them up, but do you do repairs to them, per se, when you buy them? Pretty houses now in turn.
Most of the time, pretty houses don't need much. I like to paint the door red. I like a red front door, kind of is our signature around here.
Good.
Other than that, they might just need a good cleaning because the last person didn't, you know, leave it clean when they left it. But the goal is to not have that stuff to do.
And if they need spoofed up a little bit, you'll spoof it up, right?
If
like
I need
paint,
to.
Like painting? Would you paint it if it needs painted?
I would paint it if it needed it because
okay.
the goal here is we're getting top dollar rents. And so
right.
these kids do want a clean place to live.
Yeah. And they all come with appliances, don't they? And sometimes you keep them,
yep.
sometimes you don't. So there's very little money for you to spend on them when you're buying these terms deals. Sometimes none, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. All right. Let's get back to the steps in order now. You usually yell letters to buy them. And by the way, how many people do you have on your staff right now?
I have two. I have a 1.5 gals that are assistants. So one girl's full-time, the other one's part-time. And I have one guy that kind of does maintenance and rehabs as I do those, because I still do rehabs along the way. So he manages all of that for me.
Mm-hmm. So you would need kind of a handyman guy around to fix things anyway, right?
I didn't to start with.
Now, after they enter, though, who's responsible for the repairs?
These students take care of almost everything, unless it's a total catastrophe, then obviously they would come back and say something to us. But if they break their toilet and it's not flushing, they've got to take care of that.
Is that in their lease?
It is in their lease, yes.
Yeah. But if it needs a central heat and air conditioning system, you'll fix it?
I would do that, yes.
All right. And if the roof
but
is leaking,
if they
you'll
rent
fix it.
And it's, if they rent it and it's got window units, they keep window units. They don't get to decide they want an upgrade.
Right. Okay. But you fix the big stuff, and they fix everything else. And frankly, when you buy these houses, most of the big stuff's in good working order anyway, right?
In the pretty houses, they are.
Okay. Right. That's what I mean. So you find them. We went over that. Now you buy them. And, of course, you close with an attorney. Now you own them. Now you clean them up a little bit. And right now you go to your waiting list to put students in. But before you had a waiting list, how did you go about finding these students?
I always use the free things to start with. Your Zillow Ad Manager, which used to be Postlet, that gets it out to Trulia and Hotpads and Zillow. And then good old Craigslist. I'd say every day I have about 50, that's 50, inquiries on properties for
every
students
day?
To rent. Every day.
Every
the
day?
Inbox is full. Every
no
day.
No kidding. And where do these leads
no
come
kidding.
From?
They're really from the online marketing mostly because we post those at noon and 5 every day. So I'm posting twice a day on multiple properties. And before I had multiple properties, I would, you know, I had a couple bait ads out there that was a good-looking house around campus, call me. And they would. And then I would rent whatever I had available. So that was the fastest way to build a list. And then since I've gotten into it a little bit, I do go take information over to the university to their coaching departments and their international departments. And those heads of the department will find really good qualified tenants for you, and you don't have to work for it anymore.
Yeah, kind of just let the university know, and they'll kind of steer you probably enough to fill up all the houses you can buy. That'd be correct?
Yes.
It's in their best interest. Yeah. They got to find these people housing, or they can't attend the university. And I'm sure that the parents are thrilled to know that they got a nice, clean place to live for a measly $500 or $600 a month, because that is cheap. Even though they're, okay, only renting a room, they still all share the other rooms, the kitchen and the bathrooms and the living room and so forth. By the way, do you put a TV in the house?
I don't. I don't do any furniture and washers and dryers. I don't do those because all of that stuff requires too much fixing and too much work for me.
So you're telling me your students got to go buy their own furniture?
Yes.
Okay, well, how do they handle that? I mean, is that an issue?
I haven't found it to be an issue. A lot of times what happens is mom and dad are super excited for their student to go away to college, and they give students all the old furniture and the old washer and dryer to come down to go to school, and mom gets new furniture and mom gets a new washer and dryer.
I see. I'm just thinking to myself, let's say I'm in a town with colleges, which I happen to be, and I'm buying and selling houses outside of my college perimeter, but I'm also doing student housing inside my college perimeter. I can't tell you how many houses I bought where people just leave furniture in them. What a good place to put the furniture. Just take it out of the house and move it into the student housing. What do you care? It's free.
There you go.
And that, you know, that lessens. Actually, what if you furnished it? Could you actually get more per month?
You could get more per month.
What do you, how much
there
do you think?
There are a couple people around here. On average, about $100 per month more per person.
So, yeah, I could get $400 a month more by throwing some free furniture in the house.
Yes.
You're already putting range refrigerator in there. So if I get bedroom furniture and living room furniture and maybe a washer and dryer with, and I'd put it in the lease. If it breaks, you fix it. Don't call me So I get an extra $400 a month by throwing some free furniture in there. That sounds good.
You could.
Are you going to do that? Huh? Are you taking?
Hey, I think I'm going to implement that.
Well, it's true, isn't it? Huh? Because you do buy houses outside the perimeter, don't you?
I do.
Okay. Now, from now on, tell them you want the furniture.
Okay.
Guys, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised how many people will leave the furniture in the house if you just let them know you're okay with it, especially if they're moving out of state. Nobody wants to move their furniture out of state. They just go and refurnish the house. Sometimes they're sometimes like they're moving into a nursing home, or they're just moving in with relatives. They don't need the furniture. So make a note. Always find, let them leave the furniture. In fact, I just bought a house that I got a whole house full of furniture. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it because I don't have any student housing yet. But it's next on my list of cash flow items, Dixie. Just for the record.
There you go.
I'm always looking for the next income stream. All right, so. What happens when the year is up? Do you have any problem? I mean, you actually lease these things long before the one-year lease is up, don't you?
Correct. They are asked to renew their lease, or I start showing it. I don't show it on demand. I only show it when I want to show it, so it creates a little bit of demand. But they're asked to re-sign that lease in October, and their lease, remember, won't end until June of that next year. So about 8 months before it's over, they're asked to renew, or we go ahead and show it and plug someone else in for the day they move out.
And actually, they all renew unless they're graduating, don't they?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And sometimes they'll have one kid that's going to leave. Maybe one kid's graduating out of the group, and I just let them replace that kid.
Right. Okay, well, that's cool. So you really don't have any problems with vacancies. Imagine that. You know what I like about your business? It qualifies as residual income, sort of. You do have to participate in the process somewhat, but gosh, once them students go in that room, it's truly residual. Every single month you keep getting paid. You do very little repair work. You have very little expenses, taxes and insurance, and some maintenance, and, of course, the mortgage payments. But what a cash flow. What a cash cow.
Yes.
All right.
It's done well for us, Ron.
Okay, well, let's answer the question now. How do you keep these animals from leveling your house?
Well, I think the answer is simple. We, with the system I have used, I set all those expectations up front. And remember, it's not one person I'm depending on. I have four people on this lease together and their parents. So they don't want their child to come out of college. They've just spent thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on with Skay's credit because they destroyed my house. And most of the time, there is a rule follower in that group that keeps everybody else in check. And you don't have to worry about it.
So, contrary to conventional wisdom, just because they're students doesn't mean they're going to destroy stuff because, A, they got their parents on their back who is now responsible, and B, they got the other three people, all four of them are responsible, and obviously no student is going to want to get into a dispute with landlords when they're in college because they literally can get kicked out of college if the college hears of it, can't they?
They can. So the funniest story was the day that I was, before I had assistance, I was sitting in the office, and the largest football player I ever saw came in my office, and I'm all of 5 feet tall. He's 6 foot plus, and he brings in a stove door, and he says, "Please don't tell my coach. How much is this going to cost me?" And he bought a new stove. So they take care of themselves.
Yeah, okay. I love it. What a machine. Now, because a lot of our listeners right now, I'm sure, have got regular tenants in houses, mm-hmm. and that's all they think about when they think about tenants. Oh, God, all the crap, all the grief, all the repairs and all of that. Honestly, guys, the difference between running a business that involves tenants that are not a problem and running a business with tenants are a problem is, A, how much skin they got in the game. And in your case, they don't have a lot of financial skin, but they got a lot of personal guarantee skin. And then they got a lot of pressure on them from not only their parents but also the college to not act up and to begin with.
Right.
Of course, B, is when I'm lease optioning a house, I get a big old multi-$1,000 non-refundable option deposit. That's a totally different mm-hmm. tenant than when I just stick a tenant in the house and can barely afford the first month's rent. It's a different
Correct.
Game. So if you happen to be a landlord or be thinking about being a landlord, you'll learn the right way to be a landlord, and you'll love landlording because tenants now become a blessing. And in fact, they're your lifeblood. They're your business.
They are.
Instead of something you have to put up with in life. Let me ask you this. Suppose I live in a city and there's no college. What do I do? Can I use your thing? Can I use your system?
Absolutely. I'm not home a lot anymore. I've been doing a lot more traveling, so I have an assistant that I've trained to handle all of this. So if I was out of state, I could use these same systems to have someone run it from out of town. So you can have a family member, a friend, you can find a college intern, you can just hire somebody as an employee to manage mm-hmm. your out-of-state portfolio if you needed to, or out-of-town mm-hmm. portfolio.
So in other words,
follow the directions.
Once one is trained and got the pieces of the system in place, anybody can implement the system. The owner of the buildings don't have to be that anybody.
Right.
And in fact, you've been at this 2 years and you're already replacing yourself, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because you've spent 2 years building the systems. And I frankly have never heard of anybody running student housing like you run student housing. I like your way. Somebody
Thank
told
you.
Me the less I do, the more I make. Somebody told me that.
Yeah, I heard that.
And you just removed almost all of the risk, not only in buying the houses, but also in managing the tenants. And you've got a long-term retirement working that it should be the envy of everybody listening
right.
to this CD, honestly. So if I lived in a city without a university, I bet you I'd probably take some time to go to that city to get it set up, get the boots on the ground, get somebody's head in the game, and then all I got to do is watch what's going on and sit back and relax. I'd probably, I don't know how you'd structure it, but I'd probably share the profit with that person. And I don't mean 50-50 either. But I'd
right.
share the. I'd probably do some kind of a salary and a profit sharing with that person. And right off the top of my head, I might cut them in for maybe 25% of the net profit. And in your case,
mm-hmm.
after 2 years, that'd be 10 grand a month they get, plus whatever salary you might pay them. So,
right.
Yeah, it makes sense. And again, you're only got 40 houses. Now, I know our listeners might be thinking, well, golly, that's a lot of houses. Well, it ain't a lot in our world, is it? I mean, you're doing
not this. Now. I only needed a couple to replace my $30,000 day job, though.
That's true. And, of course, that doesn't also include the money that you might, if you're buying and selling houses in the city where your student housing are, which, gosh, I don't know why you wouldn't, all that money. Because, you know, when we do pretty houses nowadays, I don't do one less than $20,000 front-end non-refundable option deposit, and some of them are much higher than that. So, you know, one could easily say, man, maybe this is actually worth the time and a little focus to get it set up, perhaps, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's better than a job. It's a real positive income. In fact, I would think that it wouldn't be long at all to where one could easily have $500,000 a year coming in net income, which you have achieved in two mm-hmm. short years. So, you know, I'm just thinking, yes, what's Dixie's World going to be looking like in 2020, perhaps? What's your goal? What's your goal for next year?
Oh, what's my goal?
You don't have one. I can tell you don't have one. So right now, let's set one. Huh?
All right.
How many students do you have right now?
I actually just added several on here at the end of the year. So I have 168 paychecks the end of 2016.
So what if we say by the end of 2017, that's up to 300?
That's doable.
That's doable. Okay, so that's 132 more than you got, divided by an average four-bedroom. How many is that?
33.
That's 33 houses. That's all. So you got to go. Well, come on, that ain't a lot. You know that ain't a lot of houses. Okay, so that's three houses a month. Basically what you've been doing.
Yep.
All right?
It is.
So if you have 300 of these students, let's call it times 500 a month, because that's easy to figure in my head. So now you're looking at, $150,000 a month gross?
Yes.
Which should give you about $60,000 a month net. Actually,
yes.
Is that true? Because isn't it true that the more units you add, your operating expenses are already covered? Won't your net go up with the more units you add? Yes?
My net should go up.
Yeah, and that's before you start putting furniture in them, huh?
Only goes up a lot more if I put that furniture in.
Okay, well, if it's me, I'd be sitting down doing that math. I got 168 students. What if I can get $400? What if I got 40 units? What if I can get $400 more? That's $16,000 a month, Dixie.
Yeah, huge increase. That's a pay increase.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, you're doing okay. Did you ever believe you'd be at this point when you were sitting around wondering how you're going to get groceries the following week?
Absolutely not. I think everyone dreams, but I had no idea how I would ever get there until I met you and realized I could build my life back. And then the dream slowly started to become a reality.
And, of course, that first deal gave you confidence, led you to the second deal and so on. And you quickly learned you could even do this without a man. Because you didn't have one then. You got one now, don't you?
I do.
Okay. In fact, Brandon's the guy that actually got you into this student housing stuff, fresh out of the military, isn't he?
Fresh out of the military, and he said, this is the thing to do. And I said, you are crazy. They're animals, and I would only do a single-family rental. That's it. And I worked the numbers, and it made sense. Why would you have one single family income earner as your guarantor when you can have four or more?
Well, that's pretty cool, I tell you. What was your biggest fear when you started?
No money and no credit. I was raised, that's how you buy anything you want. You have to have credit and you go to the bank. And I truly thought my life was over. I had always had over a 700 credit score, and that was the roadblock that's all I could see. I couldn't see anything past it.
And did you have people telling you how crazy you were to even do this?
I still do.
I still do. Okay. Honestly, they still come at you, huh? Them dream stealers, they just don't learn, do they? Okay.
They don't.
All right. So obviously real estate has already made you a millionaire, multimillionaire, actually. And do you have any plans to do anything different than student housing in the next year or two?
I don't think I would do much different. I'm always building my single-family portfolio for rent-to-own buyers as well as the student housing. So I think just keep going down the path. And aside from that, now I just want to share this system with everybody out there, and maybe it gives them one more tool to add to their toolbox and be successful with one more exit strategy.
So actually, the answer to that question is you're actually branching out into information marketing now, which is you and I just spent a half a day working on. You just taped a course here recently, which will be released soon. You will be speaking at our summit. And frankly, we will build your information marketing business side by side with your real estate business. and you simply are teaching something that you've become good at and attacking a niche within our marketplace, which I think a lot of people need to hear about. So you're giving back, and you're not afraid to get paid to get back, are you?
Correct.
So that's what's next for you. All right, if you had one piece of advice to give our listening audience that maybe you learned in the School of Hard Knocks, what would it be?
Don't reinvent the wheel. Just follow the scripts and the systems that you have been taught and have a mentor to hold you accountable. And if I would have done that sooner, I would be that much further down the road.
So what? 40 units, 60 units, what's the difference?
Well, so, you lose some of those deals talking too much, Ron, and going off script
and
trying to recreate a form that's already been created, and just use what you have.
So you do you caught yourself doing all the busy stuff that really didn't make a bit of difference instead of doing the important stuff that actually got you money in your pocket.
Right.
Imagine that. Now, Dixie, you're the only one I've ever heard say that.
Okay. I doubt it.
All right, well, guys, listen, if you want to learn how to buy and sell houses, you got to come to me, and you got to get to Quick Start School, and you can learn all about that by going to my website, ronlegrand.com, or, in fact, you can learn about, I think, quickturnschool.com is another site. You can learn just about that. It's a four-day event where I teach you what Dixie has learned and thousands of others before and after her. If you are interested in what we are talking about, you will be hearing more from Dixie. First, let me tell you how you can reach me, ronlegrand.com, by website. Or, in fact, if you want my book, go to ronsfreebook.com, and you can download my free book there on real estate. By the way, I got a new book in Amazon called The Less I Do, The More I Make, which Dixie has gotten and read and hears too. You can get that off Amazon. All right, so our office number is 904-262-0491. And with that said, Dixie, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on this call with us today. I know our audience is going to be thrilled with this information, and I know you're going to be hearing from them soon. Okay.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, Ron. Thank you.
Tell them how we reach you, Dixie Decker.
The best phone number for this system right now would be 1-800-838-5145. And I'll soon have a website set up as well, and they can find me there. It will be dixiedecker.com.
Okay. Repeat that phone number again, please.
1-800-838-5145.
All right. With that said, thank you very much. And I'll be
thank
seeing
you, Ron.
You soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.